Dead news, it's time for the show.
Yes.
Superhero time with your hosts, XV.
Like kidney damage.
Paladin.
This is going to tickle a bit.
Hey, Mickey.
Perform for us, monkey.
And Fort Max.
They tried to kill me with the forklift.
It's superhero time, now with 33% less fun.
So aren't we in negative numbers by that math?
Well, I mean compared to last week.
I repeat.
Right. I'm XV. Wham bam, I dino jammed your mom. This week is just a normal, regular cast, which is why we're less fun. He's got the touch, it's Hey Mickey.
Yes. You should brief us before you give us these funny things so we have something relevant to say.
But it's more fun for me this way. For instance, next up is Paladin, who is the joy and the laughter.
Exactly.
And he's tiny, he's toony, he's all a little loony, Fort Max.
Hello.
So, stuff happened, but it didn't.
Yeah, that's a pretty good summary for the week.
Week.
Yes. Well, let's see, there was the big battleized Red Samurai Ranger came out, apparently.
Yeah, I've seen it.
How'd it look?
Exactly like the last one, except his visor's got gold trim.
Doesn't it come with the samurai armor?
Yeah, but whatever.
So it's like Ronin Warrior Red Samurai Ranger.
It's so dull that I could barely stand to look at it before I started falling asleep.
I don't like samurai.
Yeah. along with the weird race car battle armor thing.
I didn't realize there was one of those.
Yeah, I've got a picture of it on my cell phone. I'll upload it to you eventually.
Wait. What? The one that...
Like the ones they had in RPM that became Formula Racers.
There was... This was shown at Toy Fair, if I'm remembering correctly.
Well, who can remember? That was months ago.
That doesn't really matter, because it's not a toy that anybody really gives a damn about anyway.
Yeah, it'll just sit there and sit there and sit there.
Like the helicopter Megazord.
Which, the last time I was at Toys R Us, I saw for, I want to say like $16.
Which Megazord?
The flying
You know, the
one.
Remote control helicopter one?
Oh, that one, yes.
You mean Toys R Us actually put something on an actual discount?
I think it was Toys R Us. Did anybody else actually sell
it? They'll
raise it
back up within a week.
I haven't seen those anywhere that wasn't Toys R Us.
Yeah, so it must have been Toys R Us that marked it down.
They'll mark it back up.
Well, they've been sitting on them for over a year. And, you know, the Prince of Persia movie toys seem to come out at clearance.
Yeah, they didn't last very long.
No, they didn't.
They are finally restocking the Samurai Zords, though. At least mine.
Yeah, Samurai stuff in general.
That's good. I still have no availability locally.
Does that Toys R Us close to you not carry it?
Well, I wouldn't really call that local.
Oh, well, okay.
It's like a 45-minute drive one way.
Ah, okay.
So.
Meanwhile, I have two that are both within 15 minutes. So...
Well, Fort Max, I don't think we really need to go over the reasons we hate you again.
Why not?
Well, this is going to be a slow show this week, so feel free.
Well, you're Australian, for one.
And Texan.
And occasionally British, so, yeah.
You're also short.
Your belly button sticks out too far.
You're a terrible influence on your poor mother.
Also,
terrible influence? Isn't it terrible burden?
Yeah, it is.
Same difference for you.
Well, that was fun.
Thanks for tuning in.
So yeah, when we lead off with a new toy that comes out that nobody really cares about, that's how hard up we are for news this week.
Toys R Us had that Play with the Megazord Day last Saturday.
Played with
that as much of a train wreck as it sounded?
Well, I stopped by and I didn't see one set up to play with, so I don't really know what the deal was.
Some kid probably stole it by then. But you know, every day is Play with Your Mom Day.
And she's the size of a Megazord.
Yeah. Or bigger.
She's Tor size.
Yes.
Pyramida size.
Serpentera sized?
Well, that would assume
that super sized.
Serpentera size would assume that she was thin in some measure.
Which... No, she's Serpentera sized around.
Oh.
Like she wears Serpentera's belt.
For a belt.
But no, I like the Tor comparison better. That seems to fit the mental image a little more accurately.
And plus, your mom is a big box.
And also, she blows things up by falling on them out of the sky.
Unfortunately, she's not mostly hollow.
But you can fill her with things.
At any given time, she already is. Mostly nickels.
So, in other things that we're trying to pass off as news this week, there was the trailer for the Nintendo DS All-Riders game.
Oh, I missed that.
I put the link up.
Oh, there it is.
And it's not just another fighting game, either.
Well, not in the strictest sense.
Well, I mean, it's not like it's just another rebranded Climax Heroes.
When does this come out?
Hell if I know. Paladin?
I don't really know, to be honest.
Oh, it's got Jay in it. How nice.
He probably can't get big, though.
And where's G?
Are these pictures of the toys in the commercial?
Which part?
When they're showing off all the riders. I could have swore the double was the figure arts.
No, that's probably just how much the figure arts looks like the suit.
No, I'm pretty sure Decade...
I wouldn't put it past them to do the double merchandising, though.
Decade is totally a toy.
And as for where G is, he's passed out drunk somewhere.
I wonder if this will play on perfectly legal backup devices.
Well, the DS is not region-locked, right?
I'm pretty sure it's not.
Right.
Oh, so yeah, that's a good point.
Yeah, so, I mean, you wouldn't even need a perfectly legal backup as long as your first game card doesn't crap out. Right? That's why you have perfectly legal backup,
of course. It would cost, like, what, 60 or 70 bucks to import a DS game?
I'd estimate that much, yes.
Yeah, probably so.
Yeah, and you're not going to want to do that twice.
Check CD Japan for pricing. If you even care that much, I mean.
I care somewhat enough just to be discouraged when I see how much it costs.
So does that mean you're going and looking?
Yes, I'm okay. Already.
And sorry, I just didn't care enough to look up.
Yep, $59.
$59? $59 yep. Or 5,900 yen?
4,800 yen, $59.
Well, that's not as bad as it could be.
No, but it's more than I want to spend.
It could be
a
Tamashii Web exclusive.
Well, yes, that is more than I want to spend also.
I mean, the last Kamen Rider game I played for the DS wasn't all that hot, so...
Dragon Knight?
Yeah.
Yeah.
How many other Kamen Rider DS games have there been?
Well, that was kind of the point, wasn't it?
Yes.
I don't know if the one for the Wii is any good.
Yeah, it's for the Wii, so no.
Well, it's just a fighting game. It's hard to mess that up.
Well,
and again, it's for the Wii.
The one on the DS, they messed up.
You know, it'd be great if there was a Rider game for the Wii that was, like, bowling. Because the bowling game on Wii Sports is really the best game for the Wii.
It should be kart racing with riders.
Well, motorcycle racing.
I don't know why they haven't done that. They did that Power Rangers racing game.
Maybe it tanked so bad that nobody will ever do it again.
Yeah, I'd accept that.
Or possibly it's just not what people want out of their riders.
Not as weird as the Power Rangers Zeo pinball game.
Besides, if they did a Rider racing game and they put Kabuto's clock-up power in there, you'd never be able to beat him.
No, that would just be the blue shell of the game.
They can make like a Mortal Kombat style fatality where it'd be impossible to put in. if you can actually input the code to get it activate, you deserve to win.
Yeah, that works.
I thought the Mortal Kombat fatalities was yeah.
Exactly.
I think we broke for Max.
I can't even remember the name.
And then
it's just the bullet in his brain again.
And then Denno's special driving ability would be to call down the Denliner to race with.
Yeah.
And what's Kuga's ability? To get a rod shoved in his ass?
Yes. No, Kuga would get the Gorum and be able to fly around.
With a rod in his ass.
Sure.
You should be able to play as the Virus of Memory. Just be a big SUV.
Well, that could be like one of the anti-power-ups in Mario Kart. But see, Agito had one of the better motorcycle transformation deals, because his motorcycle transformed into a hoverboard.
That sounds pretty rad.
Actually, it's a pretty crappy hoverboard.
Oh.
Think of if you cut a diagonal line across the middle of the motorcycle and then just pulled the pieces apart. That's basically it. Yeah. But still, hoverboard.
And then you stand on it.
Right. Well, you know, when it's stretched out like that, it'd be hard to ride normally.
Just like your mom.
Well, your mom's not stretched out so much as all balled up.
No, I stretched her out.
So yeah, video game.
Looks good, but probably not worth it for us.
No. Although, I imagine, there wouldn't be a lot of Japanese reading comprehension required for a game like that.
I would hope not, no.
So what's the only other thing that Fosé rumors?
Yeah, probably.
Okay, you want to
get
that?
What kind of rumors we got?
Let's see, there's some new story rumors about Kamen Rider Fosé, whoever the f*** you pronounce that. Who's transforming what?
Not me.
Oh, sorry, my bad. So, I shall stop.
Just curious. Okay, it says Kamen Rider Fosé uses items called Rider Switch.
So it's a stick broken off of a tree that he beats people with?
Mm-hmm.
You could do worse.
I would find that very entertaining, personally. But then I was never hit with a switch, so, you know. I got the cricket bat.
Cricket?
You related to Ford Max?
You have to know what a crumpet is to understand cricket.
It's not Spaceballs, but I'll take it. So anyway...
The rumors again say high school setting, which we've been hearing for a while now, so it might be true.
Well, wasn't
it something different?
Wasn't Fize set in a school?
Well, part of it anyway, at least during Decade. Which really doesn't explain anything.
No, Decade never explains anything.
So everything is his fault.
Yeah, whatever.
And when Fosé sucks, it'll be his fault.
Yes. Well, it'll also be his fault for not being double or O's.
Very true.
Or Deno.
Or J.
Or G.
Or G.
We should just keep going through alphabets.
Or not. So, anything else in the rumor mill?
There's something called the Occult Club, which I don't know what that's about. Investigate an urban legend about Kamen Rider, so it sounds like it's somewhat similar to Gokaiger.
Sort of, but not really.
Yes.
I'm going to get kind of tired of homage shows here soon, I think.
Well, don't worry about it because, you know, this is the 35th for Sentai, and it's going to be the 40th for Riders, so after this year, we'll be good. You know, it should
Unless,
start...
You know,
it should
next
go back to
be like a 1,000th episode for Sentai or something like that.
They already had that, probably.
Yeah, I was going to say it's most likely past that.
I would guess so, yes.
Well, let's see. 35 series now with an average of, say, 50 episodes each.
Yeah.
Math.
Math is hard, teehee.
Does not work because he's from the South.
Yeah, working with those numbers, the end of Gokaiger should be around 1750. So still a few years before we get to number 2000.
Well, okay.
Yes, that mattered so much.
As much as anything else we have on this show.
Well, at least it seems like it's not going to be another decade where it's like full out using the old suits.
Yeah, they're describing it as like the platform in Deno, where armor builds up onto his base form based on previous riders.
Which I could dig that. Some of those could use interesting, like, imaginative redesigns.
I can already imagine the merchandising potential for it.
The dress-up options alone are staggering.
Hopefully they won't have a new shout-up for them.
Oh, that reminds me. There's one other new product line starting, which is the vinyl figures for O's, which do the same thing as the Combo Change series figures.
Except without all the posability.
Well, that's why that's why they're the vinyl figures.
I liked O's before it was on vinyl.
I will miss those dildos, though. But, you know, they're cheaper than the Combo Change series.
Well,
it also means they're less enjoyable.
Mm-hmm. And
lower
yet,
quality and all that.
And yet they have some kind of ridiculous fan following that I don't understand.
They do?
Yeah.
Huh.
They're apparently fairly popular.
Toku fandom never ceases to disappoint me.
What, Mickey?
Toku fandom never ceases to disappoint me.
Now, Paladin?
I feel the same way about Cyberverse.
Ah. So, is that all in the current events?
Yes.
Well, then.
Time will tell if any of these Fose rumors turn up correct.
Well, we're close enough to when the show will start that there should be some accurate information coming out now.
I hope I'm wrong, but I'm expecting Fose to suck.
Yes, well, when we were in the tail end of Double, I was expecting O's to suck, too.
Well, now that's all the more reason Fose should suck, because they've had two really good ones in a row.
Well, maybe they'll surprise us. Either that, or we get to take a year off of writers.
Yeah, let's all, you know, swear a blood oath that the next show sucks. We don't have to watch it, so we don't go through another Ghost Ager.
Well, it's not like you watched most of that anyway.
I know, we still covered it every week, and that was painful enough.
Well, yeah, but at the end, I was just keeping that up to inflict the pain on Paladin.
Well, that's all well and good, but...
I was only disappointed that Fort Max didn't watch it all the way to the end, because that would have been more worthwhile. Paladin's kind of like second choice in that regard. If I can inconvenience Fort Max for no reason but my own amusement, I certainly will. So I think it's time for something completely uninteresting.
As opposed to what we've been doing?
More so? I don't know. It's just a lead into the intro.
I know.
And now for something completely uninteresting.
Although it wasn't completely, completely uninteresting this week, since this episode of Samurai actually departed slightly from the Shinkanger episode in question.
It's just mostly uninteresting.
Yeah.
Because it's carried out by worse actors and writers than an M. Night Shyamalan movie.
Harsh, dude, harsh.
But true.
I was kind of disappointed when I learned there was no, like, surprise twist ending at the end of The Last Airbender.
I think the twist was is that he ruined something that everyone loved.
No, the twist was that you survived watching the movie.
I'm not really sure that counts as a twist, Mickey, because you realized that shortly after getting into it.
That's a good point.
And whatever happened to that new Avatar series they were doing?
I believe still working on it. Scheduled for the fall, isn't it?
I don't know. And for that matter, where's my second season of the CGI Iron Man cartoon?
Next to my second season of the CGI Spider-Man cartoon.
And, of course, the second season of Wolverine and the X-Men will never happen. Damn.
Or the second season of RPM.
Well, there was never going to be a second season of RPM.
So what, damn it?
Can you tell me you don't want one, though?
I don't care about the second season of the show as much as I do about the second half of the toy line.
So you would turn down more Ziggy?
If it got me the rest of the toys we were supposed to get, yes.
Okay.
I want my micro RPM Ultra Zord, damn it.
No.
F*** you.
And over the war pass. Then we'll talk.
I already got rid of all the war paths. Except for the one I'm keeping myself.
No, you threw them all away.
Yes, I did.
Kapow.
Into the wood chipper with them. Actually, one went in the mail just today to Ken. Of course, if I knew the kind of haul he was going to get back from BotCon, I wouldn't have even offered it. Bastard. Either that or I would have held it hostage for that Shattered Glass Thundercracker.
It's Action Master Thundercracker, not Shattered Glass.
Well, it is Shattered Glass. It's just Action Master colors.
But I'd rather not dignify it with, or dignify Shattered Glass by attaching it to him.
But it's also to avoid confusion with the actual Action Master Thundercracker.
Okay, that makes sense.
Although I'd like one of those too with the transforming exosuit jet thing. That's kind of neat. And blinding. So in this episode of Samurai, we pick up from last week.
Big surprise.
Yeah, how about that? And we're back to programming the black box. I hope
sure it survives the plane crash.
I hope when they turn
this episode.
I hope when they turn it into a toy, they give it a new name.
I kind of doubt that they will.
You know, just calling it the black box is not very toyetic. Of course, they probably won't actually make a toy of that for the U.S. line anyway, so I guess it doesn't matter.
At most, it will be a recolored Samurai Morpher.
Or it will be a recolored spin sword. Since the thing is supposed to lock onto the sword. And no, exactly. it never made any more sense in Shinkanger either. So, for the first, like, two-thirds of the episode, they pretty much just do the usual copy-and-paste job from Shinkanger. Although, at one point, they add in some really confusing techno-babble about how they're going to find Jaden.
Multimodal reflections?
Nice. No, wrong technobabble. Antonio's going to hack into a satellite and use his light symbol power to triangulate the position of the Samurizer. Whatever the
I'm
hell
not
that
certain
is.
That actually means anything.
Right?
I think my idea made more sense.
Well, it's basically the same thing used to tell where a cell phone call was coming from.
Through the power of a light? On a Samurai Morpher?
Through the power of kanji. I mean symbols.
Perhaps once he finds him, he'll zoom in and enhance.
Yeah, so zoom in and enhance the reflection on someone's eyeball to see what they were looking at.
Well, to get the reflection on the spoon they were looking at.
No, now you're just being silly, Fort Max.
Oh yeah, like that's never happened before.
So yeah, Antonio does his...
Was that Dave Chappelle? Or was it somebody else?
I don't remember.
What?
The only Chappelle sketch I remember is the Wayne Brady one. Because does Wayne Brady God get this car and choke a bitch?
References from 10 years ago.
I know.
And they're still funnier than most of the crap made today. While we're at it.
Paladin, what'd you say?
And they're still funnier than most of the crap made today.
And Mickey said what?
Maybe we should put some Austin Powers, too.
No, I can do without that.
Shagadelic.
Oh, behave.
Damn. So, yeah, Antonio does his multimodal reflection sorting and goes and finds Jaden in the cave where Jaden and Decker were having a lovely little chat. Yeah.
Oh, talking.
Yeah, they were just sitting there having tea. Very civilized, sort of.
How disappointing.
While Decker sits there and goes on at some length about how and why he's eventually going to kill Jaden.
And of course, Jaden's... the censor can't actually let him say that.
Well, no, of course not. I don't even think they actually said it outright in Shinkanger either. Not that they had any problem with talking about the subject of people dying in Shinkanger. But, you know, it is Japan, tentacle rape and all that. I think a lot of that tentacle rape just kind of desensitizes them to other things.
That's a possibility.
Yeah.
Desensitizes them to tentacles.
After a while, yeah, sure. I mean, just look at your mom.
So how many yen are in a nickel, anyway?
Probably two. So instead of
Does Japan only have the one currency type? Is everything just yen?
Yeah.
Okay, so they don't break it down to like quarters and nickels and or pounds and half pence and shit.
Well, they probably have, you know, coins to represent 25, 50, 100 yen. But they don't.
But they don't get, like, sub names for that.
I don't think so.
Okay.
I know for sure there's not, like, a dollars and cents difference.
Right.
So. So, yeah, instead of finishing the black box and unlocking the super mode like happened in the Shinkanger episode, they do an original fight scene which leads into a reused Megazord fight. For no reason we can really determine.
Because it's Power Rangers and they need a Zord fight.
Well, yeah, but they also need power-ups, I guess.
Because the toys are back on shelves and they have to sell more.
More likely that this episode was planned to be the last episode before a short hiatus and they want to introduce the power-up next time.
Are they making toys with the power-up?
Oh, who knows? I know the next wave of basic figures is the non-mega forms.
Right.
I'm not sure anything representing the super forms has been shown. I don't think anything's been shown since Toy Fair, even. Maybe that's going to be the entirety of the series.
Probably.
I wouldn't be surprised.
So, basically, we'll be really lucky if that Rita figure ever hits shelves.
Which is what we said when we saw it.
Yeah.
Or the Clawzord.
But the gold morpher will be everywhere. Just because.
Exactly.
Yeah.
So let's go on to Gokaiger.
Let's go.
Yo ho, me mighties, it's time for Pirate Sentai action.
So, Gokaiger.
Well, it was pretty good this week.
Okay, talk about it. Not like that.
Why, that's the most interesting thing to happen all episode.
Although I like the narrator's voice.
I like Bosco. Because he's a dick.
Gee, I never would have guessed, Mickey. Okay, so somebody run down the episode.
So the other four are still in prison on Bosco's ship. And he calls up Marvelous and says he'll trade them for all the keys, the galleon, and Navi.
You know, I don't know if I'd give up Navi.
It's amazing how Bosco gets Navi's name right while Marvelous just keeps calling her Bird.
I got the impression he just doesn't care what Navi's name is.
Marvelous or Bosco?
Marvelous.
Ah. Well, you know, Navi's really the key to the whole thing because she's the one who can guide you to the ultimate treasure or the components to it.
I thought the Ranger keys were the key to the whole thing.
Yeah, but without Navi, you can't find the former Rangers to get the power from.
But, I mean, they're the keys, though, so they would have to be the key to everything.
But the keys don't help a whole lot if you can't unlock the power.
So Navi's more the gatekeeper?
Sure.
The locksmith.
But yes, I suppose all three things are fairly important, since you would also need Gokaiger to actually use the power-ups.
And the mobile rates.
Yeah. So we get a jailbreak sequence.
Well, first, the other four Gokaigers attempt to befriend the monkey.
Yes.
Sally. Well, that's after Milfy decides to try to trick Bosco into making her part of his crew. And Bosco just proves he's very genre-savvy.
He likes using the word savvy, doesn't he?
Yeah.
I wonder if he's actually saying that in Japanese, or if that's a subtitle or flourish they're adding in.
Maybe both.
It's kind of irritating to see it, actually, because all I can think of is they're just copying Captain Jack.
So, kind of like Broto.
Well,
Except Broto's kind of awesome, though. It doesn't remind me of anyone else other than
Less
him.
I'm just tired of the Broto thing every time. They should switch it up a little bit.
Captain Jack.
Well, that too. I mean, it is the pirate year.
So why not pirate from someone else?
So that's the question I have. Is this something that Toei's doing or something the fan subbers are doing?
Maybe both.
It's a possibility.
I guess I could solve this question by downloading TV Nihon, so I would see if they do it too.
Possibly.
I'm gonna have to wait another week for that.
Does he not say
last week's episode?
Yeah, did he not say savvy last week?
Yeah, he said it last week. I remember him saying it.
Well, there you go. So yeah, they tried to befriend Sally.
With a banana.
Yeah. That seems to not go so well either.
Well, of course, it was Dawn doing it.
Poor Dawn.
And Dawn fails at everything.
But it managed Marvelous to get...
If Marvelous had been there, he would have done it.
But that did get Sally to just run off, so of course they...
They go out through the conveniently placed, unlocked vent in their cell.
Well, that does give them an opportunity to keep kicking Dawn in the face, so...
Yeah, that was sort of funny and sad all at the same time.
Don't they do that enough during the series?
Well, there was one episode not too long ago where he didn't get hit at all. I was
so
kind of disappointed.
So now they're making up for it by hitting him 5 times in a row.
Yes.
And then, of course, they get up, go to the door, and it opens.
Bosco's there with the
gun. And Bosco and Sally are there.
Savvy. What I want to know, though, is how Joe, tied up as he was able to turn around inside the vent and kick out the opening on the other side.
He's very limber.
But he's tied up.
All the more reason.
I don't think that really works that way.
Well, he's got Zangief training.
Okay.
And so he puts them back in the cell and puts tape over the opening.
Do not enter.
Yes, complete with a little drawing of himself.
I love Gokhydra. So, back on the galleon.
Marvelous has a flashback to the meeting of Akka Red.
That was kind of cool, sort of.
Right.
Well, more backstory is always good.
I guess Marvelous was his first crew member.
I got that implication.
His first surviving crew member.
Maybe later on they'll show how they met up with Bosco and got him on the crew.
It's possible that Bosco could be back for more backstory.
Oh, I'm sure Bosco will be coming back.
I mean, what with what he has at the end of the episode and all.
Yeah.
Well, one thing at a time here.
Yes.
First, Marvelous calls Bosco on his knockoff mobile right to arrange the transfer.
It's not a knockoff, it's just blingy.
Yeah, there's no random chrome.
No, it doesn't have the keyhole.
It's a lucky draw, Moby Rates. All solid gold.
Like the dancers.
And why shouldn't a pirate have a solid gold cell phone?
Makes more sense than a trumpet.
I like the trumpet. I want a roleplay toy of that.
So Marvelous's plan is to toss the chest of Ranger keys up in the air and let the other Gokhydras catch one and catch the Moby Rate that's been hidden inside the chest.
And it works.
Amazingly, yes.
And Doc transforms using his mouth.
Which is mildly
Well, Doc transforms using his mouth and,
Joe?
Yeah, and Joe's mouth.
Mouth to mouth.
Yeah, there's no wrong implications there at all.
It's okay, because Joe and Marvelous are the one true pairing.
I don't know, it's early yet.
No, just think back to Joe's Focus episode a little while ago. That flashback was getting all slashy with it.
Getting slashy with it?
Yes.
No.
Yay.
I was so hoping you were going to do that.
So, where were we?
In the meantime, Navi distracts Bosco and manages to grab all the Ranger keys and fly away again.
Navi's fast.
Apparently she's the real hero of this episode.
I guess so.
She's the hero of every episode.
Especially when she wears that Hawaiian shirt and sunglasses.
Probably make a roleplay, Navi.
with Hawaiian shirt and sunglasses. No, I think if they were going to make a role-play Navi toy, it would have been released already.
I don't take a lot to get Ankh out, though.
Yeah, but that's a dress-up item, not a, like, electronic toy. Navi would be an electronic thing.
Yeah.
I'm surprised they didn't make Navi the exclusive for Figuarts Gokai Red.
Maybe they'll make Navi an accessory for one of the others. You know, one of the Tamashii Web exclusives.
Yeah.
Although, I think blue and green are actually on the Bandai Special shop.
So it'll just be yellow and pink. They'll be Tamashii's.
Yeah, I'm sure they'll spread the exclusivity around. Yeah, green and blue are a premium Bandai item, not a Tamashii Web store. But it's middleman fees all the same.
I gave your mom the middleman.
For a nickel.
Also herpes.
Again for a nickel.
So then Bosco whips his trumpet back out.
What are you doing?
Whipping his trumpet back out.
He's blowing his horn.
He's putting his key into the slot.
And twisting it to the side.
Well, I've run out of euphemisms for now.
That's unfortunate.
So anyway, the Rangers fight a bunch of gold and silver Rangers, and they win.
Among other colors.
It was all gold and silver, wasn't it?
There were whites.
Oh, well, yeah, I guess so.
But no blacks.
That's racist.
Well, Marvelous already has the King Ranger key, and I think that's the closest we get from the set shown.
Yeah, I was a little disappointed they didn't try and use those brand new fancy powerful keys to morph with.
Maybe they'll do that next episode like they were doing with Gokaio in the second or third, whatever.
I don't think they're going to try them at all.
They should, though. I mean, given that they were trying to unlock all the other power-ups for the Megazord, it would be in character for them to try to use the six Ranger keys.
Yeah, I think it's just going to be sort of a plot hole where they're not going to do it because that's what the Six Rangers were there to do.
I guess if there was, like, another episode between now and when Silver appears, they probably would.
Or they might do it at the very beginning of the next episode.
Well, that's what I originally said, too, but Mickey said no. Because he's stupid and no fun.
Yeah, he's a southerner.
Just like Fort Max. Not that you'd know to hear him talk.
Do we have to hear either of them talk?
I still can't figure that one out. Well, Mickey's not unpleasant to hear talk. He's not, like, hilarious to listen to, like Ken and Wingus, but, you know.
And he's not buzzing anymore, so that's okay.
It'll come back.
I know.
What?
So, what?
What?
What next?
The episode ends.
Oh, with the water thing.
Yeah.
Was that a reference to something, or...
Hell if I know.
Well, nobody else is talking.
It was obligatory end monster fight.
Yeah, I just didn't know if the particular kind of monster was some reference to something else.
I doubt it.
I guess this can't be like Bokanger, where the monsters are all, nods to old, like, Sentai Mecha.
Probably
not. We can't get that again, can we?
Oh, well.
It wasn't a terribly great episode.
Most of the associations were pretty loose, anyway.
And the big revelation is in the ending, where Bosco has several more Ranger keys.
Yeah,
10 more, in fact.
For all the non-Ranger extra Rangers.
Well, not all of them. Well, let's see, there's, Blue Centurion.
Magna Defender.
Yeah, Magna Defender, Deca Master.
I think I saw like three different Deca Swan. Keys. Yeah.
Deca Swan, female Shinken Red, Ryo and Melee.
Okay, so it's all the movie extras.
Well,
plus there's the white magic Mystic Force Ranger.
Magic Mother.
Which probably means
she
that...
puts out.
or magical nickels.
Woolzard.
Woolzard Fire.
Woolzard Fire.
Yeah, it's all the extras they gathered together to put in the movie.
Yeah.
There's still a couple characters missing, though.
Yeah, X1 Mask isn't there. The other two Rangers from DECA.
Yeah, DECA Bright and DECA Gold are still out.
Ninja Man.
And Phantom Ranger still out.
Yeah.
Well, Phantom Ranger barely did anything in Car Ranger, though. I think he showed up for like 5 minutes to give them the new Zords.
Yeah.
He wasn't all Ranger-y like he was in Turbo.
Also, Demon Hunter's missing, but I'm not surprised at that.
Who?
Nobody remembers Demon Hunter.
Yeah.
He's from Go-Go V.
Yeah.
Five.
W.
X.
Amazon. So yeah, next week on Gokaiger, we get Gokai 6.
Hooray!
Who is a guy we haven't seen before.
And apparently a huge Sentai fanboy.
So it seems like he's Genta 2.0.
That was my impression from the preview, yeah.
Which is not entirely a bad thing.
Depends if the actor can pull off the role. You know, Genta's actor was pretty good about the needs of the character. Of course, sometimes he actually overdid it. But still, much better than Antonio.
No, that's not hard.
Yeah. That almost goes without saying. All right, so up next, how about some O's?
Come on.
Okay, I'll get the note.
So Mickey had some strong opinions about O's. You want to tell us about that, Mickey?
Yeah, give me a second here to bring up the episode and have it be quiet.
Quiet is good.
Oh, no wonder that's not working. Ow.
I think I like Gokaiger's narrator better than the O's narrator.
I like how the O's narrator that always starts out with, these three things happened last week. First!
Right.
That's comforting to hear when you start into an episode.
If you say so.
I like it.
Okay.
Yeah, this episode doesn't feel like anything at all to me other than filler before something important happens.
Well, yes, this is a very much Your Mom episode, wherein it's all loaded in the back.
Yeah.
Well, Your Mom's loaded everywhere.
Well, I was going to add to that that it also applies to episodes that are the opposite way and loaded in the front. So basically, any episode of anything ever is also like Your Mom.
Horribly inflated.
Well, this episode was not like Your Mom because it felt flat. Well, your mom's very curvy.
It depends on where you're talking about, though.
And where you're looking at her.
Plus, on a big enough round body, one particular area could be flat from your point of view.
Anyway.
Like, if you've ever been north of Kentucky, it gets really flat.
This episode basically just felt like stalling.
I miss the flat. Hills are kind of tiresome. What?
I like how you're stalling.
Yes.
Exactly.
Okay, so this week on O's, these three things happened. First,
Uva's dead.
No, this week, not last week.
Well, they confirmed it this week. Sort of.
Okay, first, Gamel and Mezul make a yummy that doesn't make a lot of sense.
It actually does make sense.
And also, so, Mezul kind of comes on to Dr. Maki.
And Gamel gets jealous.
In her 14-year-old human form.
Okay, but so the yummy that makes sense. Gamel's yummies have a zero net return. Mezul's yummies create an egg sac, which spawns billions of little creepy crawlies. And somehow when you combine those two aspects together, you get someone who steals people's ability to dream. It doesn't make any sense.
No, what it was is that it was that the desire with the yummy was sleep.
Yummy created a desire in a bunch of people to cash in on later.
Let them sleep.
Okay, what does that have to do with either of Gamble or Mazul's Yummy traits?
I don't think it really matters on who made the Yummy. That only matters as to its fighting characteristics.
Well, previously Gamble created based on his own desires, so now if he's creating desires in other people, I could see that as an extension.
And plus, it was his desire in the first place. Because he wanted a nap.
Well, yeah, he had already had his candy that he wanted the last episode.
And he's pissed because Maki's hitting on his girl.
No, it's kind of the other way around, but he doesn't see it that way.
Of course, he's Gamble.
But yeah,
I don't think Maki could be less interested in Mezul.
See, I think part of the reason why Mazul hitting on Maki didn't creep me out is because in that scene, Maki is still creepier than Mazul.
He always will be.
Thank you, Dr. Hatchling.
Yes, and now he's definitely advancing into his transformation as agreed because he has his own purple backdrop now.
Definitely the most important element of the transformation.
I guess he could have gone and bought a bolt of purple silk, but I like to think he's just generating the backdrop like the others do.
I could see him taking his doll down to Hancock Fabrics and asking for some purple silk.
So moving on from there.
So that was the first thing that happened. Second, Goto spills the beans about Date's bullet.
And keeps trying to force Date to go to the hospital, which doesn't work.
It's hard to make somebody go to the hospital when they don't want to.
Especially when they're a doctor.
That's why you get a hammer and you break their leg, so there's a medical need for them to go to the hospital.
Or if, since it's Goto, he could just hit him in the head with his head.
Yeah.
And third, Date has a entirely unconvincing side switch. So now he's fighting with, you know, Maki, just because.
Because Maki came and promised him
his fee, you know.
Maki came and promised his $100 million all at once.
Yeah, except, you know, I don't think that Date's character would switch sides like that.
Depends what he wants.
Blame the bullet.
It depends what he wants the $100 million for.
And plus, the guy kind of has a bullet in his head.
And he knows he's running out of time to deal with that. If his $100 million is for some altruistic goal, I could see Date being willing to accept the consequences of taking more extreme measures to get his ends.
Yeah, the implication here is that he wants to try building a hospital or medical school somewhere that really needs it.
Or at least that's what Eiji and Goto think.
The problem with all this is that Date's actor did not emote any kind of conflict about switching sides.
Well, he doesn't emote that much to begin with.
But in order to sell him switching over to a side he clearly knows is evil, he's been fighting nonstop since he entered the show, there should have been some hesitation there.
Well, why did he start fighting in the first place?
Yeah, he wasn't fighting for...
Yeah, he was fighting for his $100 million.
But he's progressed since that to actually, you know, care about
but he's still focused on his $100 million.
Mm.
I mean, I can
see...
Even
though it cuts into his profit margin by using the scorpion again.
Well, in that case, I imagine Dr. Maki and the others lent him a supply of cell metals to power that up.
Right, and plus this, with this, this hundred... With Maki's deal, it had nothing to do with Date getting a certain amount of cell metals. It was just do this stuff. So...
For the investment of 1,000 of the cell metals they already had, you know, cashed up from probably raiding Uva's supply, they got however much more the Yummy today accumulated from all the victims.
Yet they still haven't built a bin.
They could at least get a few more milk jugs. But no,
Mickey,
it
all boils down to, I don't buy him turning evil for money. That's... I can't see his character doing that at this point. Earlier on, yes, I could see that. Now, they built him up to be too likable, and you just can't heel turn on the drop of a hat after having a strong good guy character arc all this time. Storytelling doesn't work like that effectively. I mean, sure, they can write them to do it however they want. I'm just saying it doesn't really work from a story point of view.
Maybe with the addition of next week's part of the story, it'll work better.
See, that's what I'm expecting next week is either him to do, like, oh, sorry, I was fooling the bad guys all along, I just couldn't tell you. Or it's just going to be even worse. I don't see much way for this to turn around. I'd like for it to turn around, don't get me wrong. I don't like the way this is written right now.
But before Date switches sides, he basically fires Goto as his sidekick. And Goto basically immediately goes and starts sidekicking for Eiji.
I don't know why he doesn't go back to the Foundation.
Well, given that he was hanging around in Maki's old lab and studying the birth materials, he probably is still sort of at the Foundation.
It'd be nice if they show that, though.
Yeah, well. I mean, he has to be doing something since he hasn't gone back to his job at the cafe, either.
Even though he does go back to the cafe this time.
Well, but that's entirely to
collect Date.
Yeah.
Even though Date tries to hide.
Which probably would have worked better if he had told Chiyoko and Eiji not to tell Goto he was there.
No, it still wouldn't have worked.
Eh.
Because Eiji is Eiji.
Yeah. Including forgetting what medals they have on hand.
He's been doing that a lot, though.
Well, there's a lot to keep track of now.
And does he just not keep track, or does Ankh just keep him on that short a leash?
Well, plus, Eiji doesn't have the advantage of seeing that handy graphic at the end of every episode.
Right, I mean, it's not like he's Kogami.
Right.
And speaking of which, is anyone else expecting the medal count to drop rapidly next time?
Yeah, it seems likely. He's got way too many as is.
Yeah, but he only has enough for two combos. So that might
count.
Well,
he hasn't changed or lost anything for a while, and the last time he went up against multiple greed was during that cell metal transport, where he nearly lost everything.
Oh, actually, he lost a couple not that long ago.
But he gained a couple in exchange.
Yeah.
They need to keep his power levels in check to keep
there were those
drama
ones
going.
That were grabbed from Ankh.
I kind of wish he'd lose some of the default medals, but that's not going
to
happen.
Yeah, they can't have him not being able to...
Be Tatoba.
Yeah, they can't have him not have a song form.
Yeah, he has to have some kind of combo.
Yeah, it'd be fun to see him not always be the default, but I understand why he is.
No, yeah, I can get behind that, because I actually kind of would like it if, at least for a couple episodes, he would have to like default to like Tajidoru or something.
Yeah.
But, you know, besides being the... headline form, Tataba's also the balanced one. Everything else has type alignment issues.
Not very effective.
Well, speaking of which, if a combination yummy from Mezul and Gamel, that would be ground and water, so why is fire super effective against it?
That's a good question.
I'll set aside the whole issue of light being effective against it, since there's no Pokemon equivalency to call upon there, but...
Flash is effective on everything.
Even caves.
But not for damage.
Yeah, it will just screw up their accuracy a bit.
Yeah.
Or completely if you keep spamming it.
Well, it depends if you're fighting a gym leader or Elite Four or anything
a real
else.
Person. I never found it really... useful to use the status affecting attacks. You know, if you are strong enough to be fighting your opponent, then you should be able to just work with actual attacks that deal damage.
Yeah, if you're not dealing damage, you're not making any progress in the fight.
Right.
That's what makes
especially if you're fighting Elite Four, because the computer's a cheating bastard.
Usually is.
Nintendo has that problem with AI.
Come on, Lance has... That Pokemon can't even learn that move.
Who doesn't have a problem with AI? That movie was terrible.
I will come to this microphone and throttle you. That movie is brilliant.
Yeah, Fort Max, Lance has a Game Shark.
They should have just Lance like without a missing number.
That destroys your game.
No, it will just destroy the Hall of Fame records so that there's no evidence that anyone beat him.
I understand that in the Japanese versions, finding missing number will actually corrupt the entire save game. So apparently Red and Blue that we got are a lot better off in that regard.
Well, the Red and Blue that we got is actually based on the code for the Japanese Blue version.
Yeah, which... I'm talking about the originals, though.
So was I.
Have you seen the sprites for the original games? We definitely got the better ones.
Yes, I have.
Yes, yeah, there are Red and Blue were based on the Japanese Blue version, so, which did have a lot of the bugs fixed, but...
But anyway,
see,
Fire
Shield... bad those was this week as we started talking about Pokemon in the middle of it.
I think we were almost done, though. Don't you?
Yeah, most definitely.
So, next week's stuff happens, and Goto says Henshin.
We hope, anyway.
Well, he said Henshin in the preview. Didn't
was
you pay
that
attention?
Actually him saying it?
Thought it was him. Sounded like him. Didn't it sound like him?
What are the odds of the next episode preview spoiling something important like that?
I'd say pretty good.
I would say on a scale of 1 to 10, Ultra Magnus dies.
Yeah.
Okay, so anything else before we go to break?
I don't think so. Not this week, anyway.
Good, good. Okay, up next is a review of Super Robot Shogokin Shinkano, and then Power Playback.
You're listening to Superhero Time.
Hey everybody, it's your old friend John DeLuna, and do you like video games? Do you like people who like video games? Well, if so, you gotta listen to New Soundwave. It's the weekly video game podcast of record, news, rumors, in-depth discussion of new and retro gaming, plus the occasional contest or giveaway. So if you game, you gotta listen to New Soundwave. Check us out at tfradio.net, a proud member of the Transformers Internet Radio Network.
The third strike, you're on the Street Fighter 3.
Welcome to Paladin's Place, preferred provider of mechanized melee. Since I've been covering Kamen Riders for just over a month now, I'm in the mood for a change in the review routine, so I'm going back to basics and returning to the world of giant robots.
Mechanoid sequence has been initiated.
The word Shogokin, meaning super alloy, is something that invokes awe and fear in collectors, a series dedicated to perfect replicas of iconic mecha characters at generally phenomenal expense. For a long time, fans have wanted a somewhat scaled-down series of Shogokin robots in the hopes that smaller sizes would be easier to afford. And in 2010, Bandai actually agreed. That year saw the beginning of Super Robot Shogokin, a new series of robot toys at reduced size class for collectors on a more modest budget. One of the early entries in this new series was Shinkano, the first of what will hopefully be many Super Sentai designs featured here. I hesitated at picking up Super Robot Shogokin Shinkano when it was first released, but a recent clearance sale caught my eye, and I managed to add one to my shelf. Now let's take a look at what this new series has to offer. Super Robot Shogokin Shinkano stands only about 5 inches tall, actually shorter than most of the Rider figures I covered last month. The smaller scale allows for a tremendous amount of joints built into the figure. This thing has Figuarts-level articulation, something I thought would never be possible concerning Megazords. The amount of detailing involved with this mold is remarkably impressive. Everything from paint job to mold detailing has been expertly done. Since this is a miniature figure, the Zord pieces do not separate or transform, with the debatable exception of Kame Origami, but since her transformations just involve folding in half, that barely counts. This is the closest thing the figure has to a real flaw, in my opinion. I really like the play value offered by the Zord combinations, and I miss not having that feature here. Unsurprisingly, Shinkano retains his trademark weapons in this form. The Hidden Shield, once again relying on the idiotic disc gimmick, and the very sharp Daishinken Katana, complete with hip holster. And because of the unique blending of joints, Shinkano is just articulate enough to actually draw the katana from its sheath. And that is pretty awesome. Super Robot Shogokin Shinkeno comes with an assortment of spare hands, because Kamen Rider shouldn't be the only ones to get a variety of action poses, and a surprising display accessory, the kanji for Slice, which would appear in the series as part of a finishing attack against Gedoshu. And to top it off, the Slice display actually splits in two, mimicking the Katana Slash even more. My favorite version of Shinkeno is still the Deluxe, mainly due to the transformation and combination features mentioned earlier, but I am very impressed with Super Robot Shogokin so far. It's a superbly detailed figure with plenty of play value. Definitely recommended for fans of this design. I look forward to seeing what else this Super Robot Shogokin series has to offer. Thanks for listening, and stay tuned for more Superhero Time! Samurai Forever.
From Beast Wars to Zeta Gundam, FigureReviews.com features a library of in-depth action figure reviews and high-quality photography reaching back to 2005.
XV and RAC carefully evaluate each figure and rate it on a non-numerical scale ranging from state-of-the-art to shoot-yourself, using a special formula based on years of toy reviewing experience.
Text, photos, video, audio. Informative awesome in every format. FigureReviews.com.
Superhero Time, where your mom jokes go to die.
Okay, so power playback this week. We need a break from the theme, so we're just going to do random this month. First,
and it shows.
Yeah.
Wait, is that a theme of random, though?
No. This week we watched what was originally going to be the series finale for Mighty Morphin Power Rangers, the two-part Doomsday. Of course, Power Rangers was a mild hit, I suppose, so they decided to continue it on instead. And after this we got something like 20 more episodes?
Well, four episodes of fights that... Well, of unused Zoo Ranger stuff and reused Zoo Ranger stuff, and then, like...
How many more episodes did we get after this
for the first 20, season? 20 for season one.
Yeah.
However, they clearly had intended to keep using the Dinozords longer, what with having ordered, well, 25...
episodes worth, yeah.
Well, 25 monsters worth of fights, so...
Right.
But then Bandai wanted to sell more toys, so.
But at any rate, 39 and 40, Doomsday Part 1 and 2, was originally supposed to be the end of the series.
I heard a rumor a while back that there's footage that shows it is the end of the series, but I don't think that actually exists, does it?
I think the footage in question was just unused parts of the Zoo Ranger episodes this was based from.
Though it is possible that they had done back and redid a few lines of the, redid a few shots of the very end of the episodes.
That's fairly likely. Either that, or by the time they got around to actually shooting this episode, they knew they were going to be doing more. You know, the original script might reflect it as being the end of the series,
yeah.
But the shooting script they used never did. So anyway.
I'd buy that.
So, in Doomsday, it's Power Rangers Day in Angel Grove.
Hooray.
Every day Power Rangers Day?
Well, every day is the day the Power Rangers save Angel Grove. This is just the one day a year that Angel Grove will recognize them for it.
AKA the day we don't sue them for blowing up all the buildings and shit.
Really, it seems kind of like a dickish move to only recognize them officially on one day of the year.
And then only five of them.
Yeah.
No Green Ranger Memorial or anything.
People probably still remember the Green Ranger trying to blow everything up.
Yeah, they're probably a little mixed about him.
based on that talk show that they were on.
Oh, don't remind me of that.
You should watch that one sometime.
We will, but just don't remind me of that. No, actually, I was thinking about that when I was watching Doomsday for some strange reason. So anyway, Rita is less than impressed with Power Rangers Day.
So she decides to summon Escaflowne to stop it.
And send the entire population of the city into something. I'm going to call it your mom's ass.
Into another dimension.
That's what I said.
Which should mean that you wish it back with the Dragon Balls.
No, that's not another dimension.
Send them to the home for infinite losers?
Right.
Well, this is Power Rangers, so the usual another dimension is the dark dimension.
Which is just that room with the title.
Well, which is just the command center with the walls.
The furniture moved out.
Yeah.
And a fog machine.
Cheap little wooden and PVC pipe sets put up.
Right.
That.
And probably the Dark Ranger somewhere.
Well, that move whenever someone is pushed up against the wall.
And the fog machines and garbage bags, we know.
Yeah. Well, no, the garbage bags aren't there. It's just the linoleum there.
Then where were the garbage bags were in the battle grid.
Yeah, the garbage bags were the battle grid and also where that singing squash was that Alpha needed to get.
I get my cheap alternate dimensions mixed up, you know.
Perfectly. They did so many of them during these times.
Two of them.
Well, that's a lot.
That's a lot.
Cheap alternate dimensions is such an interesting phrase when you stop and think about it.
Well, you don't want to pay full price for an alternate dimension.
Yeah, you gotta save your nickels.
So, meanwhile, Bulk and Skull were planning to cash in on the Power Rangers fame.
By morphing into Burgersaurus and Dogosaurus.
No. By revealing themselves as Bulkster and Super Skull. Because nobody will ever figure out their true identities like that.
Of course not.
But yes, the costumes do reappear later. In that wonderful dream sequence.
Which I think is a better use of them.
Oh, absolutely.
And the best thing is that Saban made their own Megazord cockpit set just for that.
Or at least, like, half of a Megazord cockpit set. I think it was only ever shot from the one angle. Of course, if they had that, it's a wonder they never actually used it again.
Maybe it didn't survive the filming.
Maybe not. Maybe they just...
Well, they already had all this other perfectly usable footage for that, so...
Maybe they just made the front part and, like, composited the rest in. In any case, once Bulk and Skull get up on stage and Bulk and Skull things up...
And Rita get booed off.
Well, they don't quite get to the point of getting booed off before Rita powers up the...
thing.
Yeah, and beams everyone away into your mom's ass. A.K.A. the alternate dimension. Or whatever it was.
There's plenty of room in both.
We're not really clear on this point. But everybody gets transported away except for, you know, the Rangers. Because, you know, what fun would it be if they were transported to another dimension?
And, of course, they were also worried about... They were looking for someone who was kind of late, so...
So, to make Escaflowne operational, they have to move Rita's palace down to Earth. Reusing footage from the first episode of Z-Ranger.
Possibly also the last episodes of Z-Ranger, because that's what this is based on.
Yes, well, until somebody actually gets around to subtitling those, we'll never know. Or subtitling anything past the first 5 episodes. Why can't somebody
Maybe
else...
Maybe the rest episodes aren't worth subtitling.
Why can't somebody else subtitle Z-Ranger? Maybe get it
Maybe
done.
Maybe it's not very good.
I like the 5 episodes I saw.
Like Maybe the minute goes downhill from there.
Well, it's not like it's Gosager.
It could become that, though.
Yeah, the same footage was from the first episode of Z-Ranger was reused for 47.
So, basically,
but
we're all right.
Or at times, so...
So we're all right.
Yeah.
So they band-aided it up a bit.
Well, they reused it in the same way that, they just reused the same footage for the same purpose that Toei reused it for.
Yeah. So once the palace is down on Earth, they call out Goldar's Zord.
Yes. Which has never been explained before.
Or since.
Well, that kind of speaks for itself because it gets blown up.
Repeatedly. Twice even. Yeah. And then the rest of the episode is basically Zord porn.
I'm not sure I'd put it that way, but yeah.
Okay, how would you put
it? Well, it's the Megazord getting the crap knocked out of it.
Not at first. I mean, sure, it took a few hits to begin with, but it came and turned it around.
Until Cyclopsis, or whoever the hell you say it, gets back up again and grows new swords.
Well, that's after Rita summons Lokar.
Yeah, that floating head thing we haven't seen since that island episode.
Everything's better with Lokar. And Lokar even gets a new hairstyle.
Is that because they're actually using the Sentai footage for him?
Yes.
Well, they used it for him the previous time, too.
Yes. Something. But yes,
Then Rita ends up sinking a cardboard cutout of Titanus into a cropped-in sinkhole.
Yes.
Into where your mom was last standing.
And the Mega Dragonzord tries to pull Titanus out by the neck. Which, even when I first watched this, never struck me like a very good plan.
It's a very Saban kind of plan.
And yet Saban wasn't even responsible for that. Neither was Saban responsible for the very obviously Titanus toy head sinking down into a pile of dirt.
Aren't all shots of Titanus just the toy, except for that upper head part?
Sometimes it's a more detailed model. But this was very obviously just part of the toy.
Well, no, it's not the toy, it's
the candy toy?
Yeah, this is probably just the toy, because there's no way they were going to bury their good model.
Which basically makes the last 30 seconds of Fort Max unnecessary.
Okay, so when the Megazord is wearing his funky Dragonzord hat, and he helps off Titanus to grab it by the neck, what happens to the chess piece? Does it stay attached to Titanus, or...?
Subspace.
Oh.
Yeah, you know, anytime combined Zords are knocked apart, somehow all of the mixed-up pieces go back to where they started from.
And then it reappears in the Ninja Ultra Zord.
Along with the Dragon Zord's chest plate.
That's what I just said.
Oh, I thought Mickey was referring to Titanus's chest plate.
Yeah, that's what I was talking about.
Meanwhile, for Mega Dragonzord formation, the Dragonzord's chest plate just kind of disappears. Along with the tail. Of course, in the toy, they give you a solution for that.
Yeah, stick it on the Dragonzord's legs, which makes it side-heavy if you have the bit. Well, which makes it side-heavy with all the electronics and batteries being on one side.
Right. As if that form didn't have problems anyway. So, back in the command center, Zordon tells the Rangers that the Zords need several hours to fully recharge. And so, well, what are we going to do
now? Screw that. We want them now.
Yeah. And so
nothing fixes dents and
my attitude towards
like
buying
them into the wall.
And so What?
Go ahead.
What?
What?
I don't know. I don't even know who we're whatting.
So
we go into part two, with Jason declaring that they'll take these Zords out at half power.
Because he's awesome like that. Because
they did so well with the Zords at full power initially. This can't fail.
Well, of course, It's
not like they've
been... It's their show.
It's not like they've already been defeated once and lost one of their Zords, right?
Right.
And of course, instead of going out in the most powerful form they have available, they just go out in the Megazord again. Which promptly gets its arm cut off.
Yeah, that was kind of brutal.
Yes. And I imagine it wasn't very fun for the guy wearing the suit, either.
But now, thanks to the 2010 Megazord, you can faithfully recreate that scene.
Without breaking your toy. How about that?
Took him long enough.
So Jason calls the Dragonzord back out, and Dragonzord gets its tail cut off. Of course, being that it's a giant lizard Zord, it'd probably grow back.
Well, everybody loses the tail to Dragon Zord anyway.
Or at least the tip.
Yeah. And the stand.
And the handle.
Especially the handle.
Yes. And the battery case. And the horn.
The horn doesn't come off.
I stand by my point.
And then one of the side panels falls off.
Or you lose the entire half of the Zord.
Well, that's kind of what I was talking about. The whole side comes off.
Oh, yeah, by the 2010 written a new Megazord, they never put out the Dragon Zord for it.
Yes.
God damn it, Bandai.
That is the most interesting thing anyone has said all show.
So...
And it came from Fort Max. What kind of f***ing show is this?
A very bad
show?
Yes.
So, Megazord and Dragonzord are defeated, and then they get shot with the glowy red beams.
Well, glowy red beams that reverses all the colors, so...
So the negative beam. Whatever. And it makes Megazord and Dragonzord kind of disappear.
Again.
And in the end, as the Rangers are forced to evacuate, all that's left is Megazord's head and fist. Of course, it's a wonder that they wait until that point to abandon the Megazord. Because, like, are they thinking it's going to stop and they'll be able to continue on?
They weren't really the brightest set of Rangers. They had heart, but...
What about Billy? He was pretty smart.
Yeah, but
he stayed in there with
smarts.
The rest of them.
You know, one time Billy was trying to turn a rubber chicken into a power eagle.
I'm going to pretend that you're just making stuff up.
It was one of the PSAs. But there was
turned a Volkswagen bug.
Yes, he turned a Volkswagen bug into a spaceship. But there was a time also where he switched his and Kimberly's minds.
We're just cutting out again, so...
What?
No, he's not.
It was to me.
Well, your connection probably sucks.
And I think if you were hearing anyone cutting out, it was Ben.
Or Mickey.
I believe both.
Yeah, whatever.
But yes, and then Titanus starts unsinking.
No, you skipped a part, though.
True.
So, as they abandon the Megazord head, they're transported in a fireball back to the park.
Because that's just how it works.
Yeah. And to destroy any dramatic tension, Billy immediately explains that, no, the Zords haven't been destroyed, they're just back in the garage. Having utilized the heretofore never heard of security system.
This Zord is protected by Viper.
But there is one complication, which is that Reed is jamming the communicator frequencies.
Now, this has happened a couple of times, hasn't it?
Well, there's been communications disturbances, not necessarily being purposely jammed. But they have to go back to the garage so Billy can set a new frequency on the communicator.
Yeah, because this is the first... Yeah, this is, I think, the first time they were jammed rather than Tommy having ripped out all the control panels.
Or Tommy having left his communicator in the bathroom or something.
Who would dare give them the raspberry?
What?
They're being jammed.
Oh.
What kind of a show is it where we have to explain that one?
Well, I don't like raspberry jam, okay? Prefer strawberry.
Argument, but still, everybody
should
recognize that
the
joke.
The Spaceballs reference?
Our show?
So, Goldar, apparently having also abandoned his Zord, is back up in the palace and talks about how he's going to go destroy the Rangers while they're helpless.
Blah, blah, blah.
And he teleports down to Billy's garage with a whopping 2 putty patrollers.
Goldar is all talk.
And he doesn't walk very fast, apparently. But he sure did sweep that table clean, didn't he? So yes, before Goldar can meander over to where the Rangers are standing 5 feet away and attack them, Billy reprograms the communicators and they teleport away.
Just in the nick of time, of course.
Leaving Goldar to stand there in impotent rage.
Is there any other kind of rage for this kind of villain?
Nope.
Not in this show. In other kinds of shows, maybe not. If it's a tentacle monster, I don't think so. So
thankfully,
yeah.
They didn't have any of those this year.
Right. I can't hear what Ben's saying exactly, but it sounds like fun.
More interesting than anything any of us has to say.
Welcome back to the show as normal.
We're very sorry.
Yeah, we'll have to get Ken or Wingus back on soon. So yeah, now Fort Maggs, we're to the point where Titanus is digging itself back out of the ground.
No, not digging, just unsinking.
With blue sparkles.
He's playing Mario Kart?
Sure.
Why not?
I mean, it's not like there's anything else to do when you're buried under the city, right?
Well, you could look for coins. Or doozers.
So, since Rita's palace is on Earth, somehow the command center can interface with her computer system. Insert
because
your mom
Rita
joke
has
here.
A computer system.
What?
Because suddenly Rita has a computer system.
Yeah.
It's a web TV.
I used to have a web TV.
Oh, God, now I'm reminded of web TV's Frank.
Web TV's Frank. Old jokes are old. So, through this link-up with Rita's brand-new computers, apparently, they found out that Cyclopsis can't handle form changes very well. Could have fooled me. So if they just keep cycling through Zord combinations, it should be just fine and they can defeat him easily.
Good thing they got so many Zord combinations to choose from.
Yeah. Yeah, I think if they had adapted Jetman and tried to do that, it wouldn't have worked out so well. Besides the fact that there's no Cyclopsis in Jetman. So they go back out with the Zords again and manage to not get them destroyed this time. And Cyclopsis is defeated and everybody forgets Lokar is hovering over the city. And the population is teleported back into the park. And life goes on, such as it is.
Anything goes.
And then Tommy shows up late.
Well, he kind of has a knack for that. And he's wearing very green denim. Ben doesn't sound angry enough to be playing on the Xbox.
He's just getting started.
Oh, okay. Should we, like, wait a few minutes for him to get a rage going?
Nah.
Oh, okay.
You can't watch Ben a kettle of balls.
So later, Zordon offers the Rangers the choice of going back to their normal lives or staying Power Rangers. And this is probably where the original form of the episode diverges from what we actually got.
Right. But the rumor still persists that footage of the alternate version of the episode exists.
Where they kill Zordon and Alpha and take over the world?
No, that's the movie.
No.
That too.
You mean where they have a massive pie fight?
At Ernie's?
I had one of those with your mom.
Pie fight.
Nice. So, that was Doomsday.
And regrettably, it did not involve a monster leaping up from underground to kill Superman.
Right.
I regret that it didn't involve Richard Pryor.
I always liked this episode quite a bit just for the abundance of Zord fights in it. I always did dig the robots.
They could have used more fighting, though.
Well, see, that's the thing I don't get in the scene at the garage, why nobody bothered to try morphing.
Maybe they don't want to miss at the garage.
Well, Goldar was kind of doing that.
They didn't have enough time left to go through the whole damn morphing sequence again.
Yeah, I guess. It just seems like, you know, kind of a
Billy didn't want to morph in case his parents walked in.
But they were in the other dimension, Fort Max. Everyone in the city was transported away. That's why they could fight and blow up all those buildings and there'd be no casualties. Because the city was empty. The city was empty and or they were fighting in the abandoned building district.
What about the rock quarries?
Well, they don't really do the Megazord fights in the rock quarries. Maybe near them, but... You know, not in. Now, am I remembering right in the G-Ranger episodes, what we got as Cyclopsis was powered by the souls of little children?
Yes.
Piloted by
Bandora's son.
Not dead anymore, son, and four other kids.
And that's why the Megazord looked reluctant to actually strike Cyclopsis early on in the fight, right?
I don't know.
Well, what good are you? Damn it, Fortnite.
Can we ask that every week?
Yes, but it's kind of like a running joke, you know. Fort Max, what's he good for?
Absolutely nothing.
Yes.
Good God.
You all.
Obvious, but worth it. So what did you think of Doomsday?
It was okay.
I'd like to hear Mickey's thoughts about it.
When I watched it as a kid, I was confused. I was confused by the fact that Lokar didn't blow up.
Or
appear saved that for a later episode.
No.
No, they didn't. Lokar never appears again. I think he got sad because everybody forgot about him after they blew up Cyclopsis.
Wasn't he in Pee-wee's Playhouse? As Jambi?
I don't know.
Am I dating myself again?
Yeah.
Damn it. Yes.
Mecha-leka-high.
But yeah, I mean, they blow up Cyclopsis, and they never address again that Lokar was still there.
No, they just didn't use the Sentai footage for whatever reason.
Probably because there wasn't any more.
No, there was.
Of him?
Of Lokar blowing up.
Right. But I mean, they could have cut back in the footage from the Island of Illusion where they had him teleport away. Just, you know, something.
Maybe they couldn't show him blowing up because he had a human face.
And
maybe they were going to use him again but change their plans.
But see, that doesn't preclude using the older footage and showing him teleporting away.
They probably lost it already.
Suit got stolen.
Well, no, all they would have to do is wait for the episode to air in reruns on Fox Kids.
Just tape it on VHS.
Yeah, and run that back into the episode.
It sounds like something they'd try back then.
Back then, it sounds like something they'd try with Samurai.
Well, give them time, maybe they will. But see, it wouldn't have been as funny back then because the network logo was not as obtrusive as it got to be in later years.
Yeah.
Most of the time it was, mostly transparent. Kind of missed that, actually. A network logo that doesn't take up the bottom third of the screen.
Yeah.
I remember,
or ads set up on top of your show.
I remember a bunch of years ago, on the Power Rangers news group, somebody photoshopped together what the Fox Kids logo would be like in a few more years. And it was the Fox Kids logo at the time taking up literally 95% of the frame. It was very amusing.
That's
at
funny.
The time. Yeah.
In the fact that we thought Fox Kids would last that long.
Well, this was around Lost Galaxy, so it did last a few more years after that. So it's still sort of true. But yeah, one thing I really don't miss is the Disney XD ads on the lower third of the screen. Especially the ones that told you you were watching a new episode. Like the ones that told you you were watching a new episode of Power Rangers right now.
Yeah, gee, I could have never figured that out without it telling me.
Yeah, thanks for the tip. Like,
I don't know if any of y'all have Blu-rays, but some Blu-rays will actually include an advertisement for the Blu-ray medium on the disc itself.
That seems like kind of a bad plan.
You don't need to sell me on the product. I've already spent $500 on a PS3.
Yeah, really. I saw a bunch of Blu-ray players marked down to like $90 at Walmart today.
That's a good deal.
And like Sony ones, too.
Well, that's why.
Why they marked down Sony stuff.
And they were even like wireless enabled. So it's not like they were crappy ones.
So they could still have remote without wires at all.
What, Mickey?
They could still have identity without using wires at all.
Yes. Well, no, it's not like it was a PlayStation 3. I love Sony so much. They provide me with weeks of entertainment.
Is the PlayStation Network back up yet?
I think, yeah.
Yeah.
I downloaded technically
yesterday.
But it's great. Sony has provided me with weeks of entertainment, and I have not had to spend one penny on any of their products. It's all I could have asked for and more.
There are products of theirs I wish I hadn't spent pennies on.
What?
There are products of theirs I wish I hadn't spent pennies on.
Like a PlayStation 3?
Or 2, or PSP.
The PS2 wasn't bad. It had good games.
Sure, a lot of good games for PS2.
PS2 was the standard of its time.
Yes, that's when my PS2 would run those games.
What?
My PS2 would not play anything but the black bits.
Oh.
Not black, the silver. Yeah. It was black and blue, it would not play.
Okay, that sucks a lot more then.
Yes. I was a lot irritated at that system.
Well, I would have been too if mine did that.
You know, you could get a new one now.
I could, but I don't think the system's worth $100 right now. I'd pay 70 for one.
Well, you could probably get a used one for that.
Yeah, I'm not going to trust buying a used one with the problem I had with mine. So.
Well, yeah, but I mean, you get it at GameStop, and you've got a period to make sure it works right and take it back if something goes wrong.
Yeah.
But that requires going
to
GameStop.
I know, it requires giving GameStop money, but sometimes it's worth doing. You know, when I bought my second Xbox, I got a used one at GameStop just for that fact. And then I bought, like, 2 games for it ever and haven't played it in about a year. bear in mind, I got it last March. Or not this past March, March of 2010.
Just for War for Cybertron?
Oh, no, I haven't even bought that yet.
Oh.
I bought Saints Row 2, and eventually I bought Crackdown 2.
Ah.
Why Crackdown 2?
Why not?
Because the first one's better?
I got Grief Paladin on this one.
Yeah, in some ways, I suppose. But Crackdown 2 is fine. I should get a copy of Crackdown 1 again. It's good and cheap anyway.
Yeah, you can pick it up, I think, with a combo meal at Arby's.
Actually, the Crackdown 2 I got was like $15 on Amazon, so...
That's not bad.
Brand new. It was around the same time I got the $20 Galactus. And that month I had a free trial of Amazon Prime, so I didn't pay for shipping on any of it.
Nice.
Bastard.
Yeah, I got Galactus for $20 with free 2-day shipping.
Happy Saints Row 3 comes out this year.
What?
Saints Row 3 comes out this year.
Wonder if it'll be good.
You can use a big dildo as a club.
Well, you can do that in one of the Grand Theft Autos.
Oh, really? Ah.
San Andreas, I think. You just had to go find it first. It was in the bathroom of one of the police stations.
Of course.
That's always where you'd look for that sort of thing, isn't it?
Naturally.
I'm just going to pretend it's a big show to whip.
Well, it was the wrong color, as I recall. I believe it was dark purple. Oh. Either that or I saw a really dark screen cap. I can't remember. So, yeah, we seem to have drifted a little off subject again.
A little?
We ran out of stuff to talk about.
Yeah, well, at least we got a full half hour out of Doomsday before we started off on other stuff.
Like dildos and video games?
Yes, exactly. So, let's see. I think our brief aside earlier about what we're doing next week did not actually make it into this segment. So next time on Superhero Time, we're going to talk about Ecogynder. And if you don't know what that is, just wait. You will.
It looks like it's going to be f***ing awesome.
It's very funny, and it's about 10 minutes long.
It's short?
Yes, it's short.
And does that pick up an entire segment?
There's more than one episode.
Yeah, there is more than one episode.
Oh.
We could watch multiples.
I gave your mom multiples.
Actually, let me...
multiple nickels, you mean.
Let me see how many episodes there are. We could just watch all of them. But probably not.
How many are there?
I don't know. I haven't found it yet. Because I don't actually have the page bookmarked. In the meantime, we'll listen to Ben.
Yeah. It sounds more exciting than what we're doing.
Okay, there's 6 episodes subtitled so far. Out of potentially 8. Maybe more. But in the meantime, here's a live performance of the theme song.
Yeah.
Oh my.
And it's a music video.
Oh, well, I'm not going to download this.
No?
No.
Not today.
Why?
Because I've probably reached my limit for mega upload for the day.
Oh.
I can download it tomorrow, though.
Yeah, it's only 57 megabytes. Either that or watch the mega video version.
That could possibly work.
I don't think you get limited on that the same way. But yes, EgoGinder is a really good example of why we need lots of subtitling groups doing different things. Because then you get crazy stuff like this subtitle, which ordinarily you would never get to see.
I wonder how much insane stuff like that is in Japan that we don't even know about.
Probably a lot.
And probably a lot of it we don't want to know about.
I wish that there were good ROAs for France.
Toku
Live.
F for hours.
For what?
France 5.
What?
What? What?
I have no idea anymore.
Ecology power charge.
France 5.
Wonder if, like, there was some... If Japan had some show like Night Flight that did dubs of Mystic Nights or something...
That would be great.
Like the one
it?
Picture they have in this wiki article of the guy doing the thumbs up.
He's very French looking, isn't he?
Yeah.
Well, there's always Chi Chi Ranger.
But yeah, I don't think you can actually get copies of France 5 online. Which is a shame, because I'd like to see what the French do with the. Sentai genre.
I'm here on the website, and the main picture has a picture of the Eiffel Tower on it, so that tells you something.
I also assume it involves surrendering a lot.
Well, they are French.
Wow, this carried on for 5 years?
Well, they are French. I don't know what that has to do with anything, but I'd like to say that.
Ah!
Man. Okay. You're not having good luck with that tonight.
Everything for a second.
Including us? I guess so. Of course, I can't blame him for muting us.
I'd either mute everything or nothing at all.
You can't mute your video?
Not with the way it's set up right now.
Well, that kind of sucks.
Yeah.
Is that related
that
again to
video
the...
Didn't have a volume control on it.
Is that related again to the headphones and speakers being on separate, or whatever it was?
It does.
Why was that supposed to be a good idea?
That's just what we've been decided to plug up stuff together because it was better, so.
What?
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 I don't know.
I no longer know.
Okay, then. So I think that's our show for this week.
Yay.
We're sorry.
I'm not. Well, look at
well,
the bright,
we should be.
Look on the bright side. It's not like 2 hours and 20 minutes like it was last time. On the other hand, it's a lot less enjoyable, too.
They didn't cut most of it out.
Well, that's why it won't be 2 hours and 20 minutes this week. Because there actually is space to cut out. You know, last time, all of the normal dead space in the show was filled.
I filled your mom's dead space.
So basically the entire time we spent recording last week went into the released show. Which never happens otherwise. And we'll have to be careful not to let it happen again.
Yeah.
Damn, that was a long show.
It was a good one, though.
Yeah, it was. We had a lot of fun recording it. We have to get those guys back on, but maybe separately.
That could work.
Okay, so anyway, thanks for listening. And, bye.
Tune in next time if you dare.
Don't threaten them, Paladin.
What bigger threat could there be than this show?
Exactly. Why isn't Fort Max saying anything?
Who cares?
Well, yeah, but still. Hey, Fort Max!
What?
Here we go, we woke him up.
Wake up.
Say goodnight, Fort Max.
Good night.
You did it wrong. Again.
That's what I do around here.
This has been Superhero Time. Visit us at tfradio.net for show notes and to subscribe to the podcast. Follow us on Twitter at TF Radio for news and updates. Superhero Time is a Radio Free Cybertron production. Copyright 2011, Radio Free Cybertron.
There's something wrong with you guys.
Well, we keep doing the show for one.
I repeat.
We keep doing the show, and for some reason, we all keep coming back. Voluntarily, it seems. I'm confused, for one.
I thought this was a better test for a test. If I can pull my hand out of the show, it'll burn me or something.
What? Don't hurt yourself in your confusion.
What'd you say?
I thought this was like a Ben and Jesuit test from Dune.
Oh.
Never mind.